Thank you, Brother Wade. Do appreciate the prayers for my father-in-law. And some days he's getting better and some days he's not, but that's how it goes, I guess, at this time and age. But thank you for your concerns there, and I know Kim very much appreciates those as well. Okay, welcome to the Internet broadcast today, and welcome those of you that have come in since the break. We're talking today about Ephesians and the doctrine that Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is teaching us. And that doctrine is the difference between the first church at Ephesus, we who first trusted in Christ, and the book to whom he's writing, the literal people to whom Paul is writing the book of Ephesians to, is ye who also trusted in Christ, a second church, if you will, in a second group of believers. Let me word it that way. A new group of believers, okay, and the doctrine that is taught in the book of Ephesians. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 12. One thing to kind of tie up the first hour, and then we'll jump right into this second group, ye who also trusted. Okay, in Genesis chapter 12, and if you start right there in verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land, by the way, that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay, that is the promise that God made to Abraham about 2,200 and some years before the crucifixion of Christ. Okay, so for thousands of years, we have the promise to Abraham and Jews being God's chosen people. Okay, and the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, right? Okay, and that is continuing. You know, remember we talked last week about the promise? Peter said, you know, to Christ, you know, Lord, we've given up everything to follow Thee. What reward do we have? We, the 12 apostles. And what did he say? You'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel in the days of regeneration out in the future. Okay? So there's still God's people. Then we have the book of Acts, a transitional book, as the Jews gradually over time until Acts 28, they are falling away. Falling away, falling away, falling away. Acts chapter 28, the Bible calls them, lo am I, not my people. Okay, so when Paul went to he went to Ephesus twice. In Acts 18 and in Acts 19, around AD 52 to 55 out in here. Okay, and he set up the first body of believers in Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and go ahead and flip there, in case you weren't here with us the first hour. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 12, Paul says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. A second group. We who first trusted in Christ, ye who also trusted in Christ. A second group of believers. The Ephesians letter is being written to a different type of Gentile. What's different about them? They remember, the first group, as we established in the first hour, these people were always in the synagogue at first. These Gentiles were in the synagogue. Paul was still bound by that promise we just read. So when he went to Corinth in Acts 17, or beginning of Acts 18, and then to Ephesus in 18, he always went to the synagogue first, and he preached there until the Jews rejected him. Then he'd go set up church, if you will, next door. At Corinth, he went next door to the home of justice that was literally adjoined to the synagogue. in Ephesus, he went to the school of Tyrannus, and that's where the Gentiles followed him over there. There could have been some Jews also, any that believed the message that Paul was preaching. Okay, so that's the type of Gentile, though, and let's see them over here in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to define that type of Gentile. This type of Gentile now. Starting in verse 11. 2:11, Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Here's the key. That at that time ye were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And I'm going to say, therefore, having no hope without God in the world. Why? Because they weren't aligning themselves with the promise that God the Father made to Abraham way back here, 2,200 some odd years before the crucifixion of Christ. They didn't do that. They were strangers from those covenants of promise. Okay? They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, it tells us in verse 12. Just like anybody and everybody today, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, whether they're American, whether they're Saudi Arabian, whether they're French, Italian, any country, anywhere in the world, okay, any person on this earth today falls into verse 12. That defines them. That describes them. Anybody and everybody today. And by the way, that includes those people that live in Israel. Okay? What happened at the end of Acts 28? The Jews became Lo-Ammi, not my people. That's what the Bible says. Okay? The church, which is the body of Christ, that is God's people on earth today. No matter what country, amen is right, no matter what country you live in, including Israel, there is one way. Okay? So at the end of verse 12, and without God in the world, but now, and as we say so many times, Brother Scott Mitchell, if you can ever go listen to any of his messages about but now, like I say, David and I woke up in Mobile. We started out from Mobile at 7 o'clock this morning, but now we're here in Montgomery, Alabama, 180-some miles away. Okay? But now, a huge difference from something before. So verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. It's not just Christ. It's not just belief in Christ. King James Bible, go there and see how many times it's the blood of Christ. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. When Christ died on that cross, okay, He shed His blood, gang. It wasn't just Christ's body hanging up there and dying. He shed His blood. Why? To pay the penalty for the sins of the world. The sins of the world. And then He was buried. And when He was buried, He took those sins into hell where they belong. Every one of them. The little ones and the great big ones. You know, to Him, they're all this. There is no difference. Sin is sin. But He paid for every single one of them. And He took them into hell. And on the third day, He was raised again for our justification. And if we'll believe that and that alone, for our salvation, as it says back there in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, two of my favorite verses, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's your salvation. There's the salvation of anybody that lives in calendar year 2011. Again, whether they live in America, the Soviet Union, Israel, anywhere else. That's the only way for salvation. Things will change in the future, but that's after we're all called out of here what is known as the rapture of the church, when the church, which is the body of Christ, is called out of here. Okay, those that are asleep in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, so to be with the Lord forever. What a glorious day that will be. Okay, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, were not aligned with Israel, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Made both one? We're back to these two groups again. Okay, he's made both one. So two groups, but he's making them both one. I'm sure he's going to explain this, and he does, okay? Verse 14, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle of wall of partition between us. Wow, so I'm seeing there are two groups, both, and there's something between these two groups, and he calls it the middle wall of partition. Well, let's keep reading and learn from this Bible. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Something is an enmity. Something is the enemy here. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Wow, do you see what was between us there? For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile, here's that word again, both unto God in one body. How did he do it? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There's that enmity again. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both, there's that both word again, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. We saw both. Where are the both? Let me put another box around this second group of believers, if you will. Both. The first group. We who first trusted in Christ. Nobody in this room can ever be in that first group. You had to be alive during AD, the mid-50s. Those are the people. Those are the Gentiles who first trusted in Christ. And again, there could have been some Jews in there too. I'm sure there were. I would assume there were. I don't know for sure. But they would have heard what Paul preached if they believed that they're in it. Okay, let's word it that way. Okay, we who first trusted in Christ. There was something between these two groups. Okay? I'm just going to put a dotted line there, and the Bible called it what?
Ordinances.
Ordinances? I thought there was no law to follow today. Okay, again, just looking at the doctrinal difference between the first six books that Paul wrote, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, okay, and then Paul's prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Okay? So keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just go back to Galatians, first of all, chapter 2. The book right before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 2. In verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, the apostles. Why? Lest by any means I should run in vain or had run in vain. Okay, verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spoil our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Okay, to whom we, the 12, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Okay, so they go, Paul goes to Jerusalem. Okay, he's got a different message. Let's just make sure. Go back to Acts 15. This talks about what he's talking about. Okay, in Acts 15, matches up, and you can mark that in your margins there with Galatians 2. So in Acts 15, and you'll so again, this is just before Paul goes and writes these books. Okay, between Acts 17 and Acts 20 is when Paul writes these six books that become doctrine in your King James Bible. In 15, he goes to Jerusalem to meet with the 12. Let's just make sure that things are as they seem to be. Okay, so Paul communicates to the 12. I just want you to see at the end of that what they say. Okay? And they conclude, okay, in verse, let's go to 13 first of all. By the way, notice who speaks here. And after they had held their peace, Peter answered. No, is right. Don't you dare let me do that. I thought Peter was kind of the head of the 12, if you will. Wow, there's another transition even within the Jewish church. Okay? James is the preeminent speaker for the 12 now. Anyway, so James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, so Simeon being Peter, when he went to Cornelius, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of this world. Now watch, here's his summation in verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my sentence is, my conclusion is, after hearing all the things, wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them, and here's four ordinances that the 12 are going to put on Paul and that way. Paul and the church, which is we who first trusted in Christ. Here are the four ordinances that are placed upon the group of believers at that time. Not today, but at that time. Verse 20. But write unto them that, one, they abstain from pollutions of idols. Two, and from fornication. Three, and from things strangled. Four, and from blood. Those are four ordinances, and the only four ordinances, okay, that the beginning of the church, which that was the church which is the body of Christ, had four ordinances on it. Okay, let me just kind of stop right there for a minute. Everybody, any questions, go right ahead with them. Okay, so during this time period, the believers that followed the gospel of the grace of God that Paul preached back here, just like he did in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for your sins, for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay? Same gospel for salvation. Absolute same gospel for salvation. Absolute same way to get into the body, which is the church which is the body of Christ, which will be called out of here. Right there. Okay, with me? But they had four ordinances that they did need to follow. Okay, so anybody that was like those Gentiles had those four ordinances. Let's even put them here. Four. I'll just call them four ords. Okay? Now we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, he's talking about both. That's this group of believers. That's this group of believers. Same body of Christ. So now go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start again in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath made this and this one. Let me use red. He's made both one. hath made both one. Verse 14, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So this middle wall between us, it's broken down. In verse 14, verse 15, here's how he did it. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. These four ordinances, no more. Okay, this is the doctrine that Paul is preaching, okay, in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. Okay, the ordinances that the early church, which is the body of Christ, had to follow, exist no longer. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. This both into one is called, I don't know, does that show, Larry? One new man. I don't know if it shows in the back of the room, but I'm writing the word run, new man. That's where the one new man is. That's who the one new man is. It's we who first trusted in Christ, ye who also trusted in Christ, taking both, as he's been using the word both, putting them into one new man. Okay, so again, back here in Acts 52, when Paul came here 3 years, he said, he went here twice. 3 years he was preaching them the gospel of the grace of God, started the body of Christ, where he says, in me first. He was the first one in it. These guys are in it too. Anybody that would believe the gospel of salvation that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, how that when Christ died, he died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our justification. That was the gospel that he preached. Same gospel, same message, but a different type of Gentile. Remember, these Jews were aligning themselves with Israel because of the promises to Abraham. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. They were still following it. This group, so after Paul left, okay, some other people started hearing the message. These people had never aligned themselves with Israel. They were not part of, they didn't go into the synagogue like these Gentiles did. But these Gentiles got on with the message when Paul left, didn't they? They went out and started telling people, just like we should be doing. They started sharing the glorious gospel of Christ. People got saved. And look how they did it. They didn't go to the synagogue to hear that message. So Paul is telling them, showing them, why they're still part of the one new man. Why they're part of the body of Christ. Even though they didn't align themselves with Israel. That didn't make sense to people at that time. Today, you know, we have no problem in this room understanding that. None of us has ever gone to a synagogue to hear the Word of God. We didn't have to. Okay? That's the doctrine that's being taught here. Let's keep reading. We're in verse 16. And that he might reconcile both. Both. We who first, ye who also. Might reconcile both unto God in one body. How? By the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby. What was the enmity? The law of commandments contained in the ordinances, right? Okay, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. You that were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit, capital S, unto the Father. Now therefore, ye, this group out here to whom he's writing, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. We who first trusted. With the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, once you're understanding those two groups, who they are, how they're made one, here's where chapter 3 comes right in. For this cause. What cause? Chapters 1 and 2 and everything he just taught in 1 and 2. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Parentheses again. Oh, by the way, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, let's come back. Verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy prophets, apostles and prophets by the capital S Spirit. And here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. We'll come back and read again in a minute. Okay, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, so all of this is the dispensation of the grace of God. And it was given to Paul. And it's called a mystery here. And it's given to the Gentiles. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is when revealed? Now revealed. It wasn't even revealed at this time period. It is now revealed. When he's writing the book of Ephesians, after Acts 28, while he's in prison, is when this is revealed. Okay, that's why we need to look at this in a historical time frame. It matters. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, and who revealed it? By the Spirit. Capital S. So whose Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. Small s is your Spirit. Capital S is the Holy Spirit in your King James Bible. Okay, two things the Holy Spirit does for us today. Okay, number one, the Holy Spirit preserves us. When you get saved by placing your faith in the fact that when Christ died on that cross and shed His blood for the sins of the world, that included your sins. And when you put your faith in the fact that Christ shed His blood for your sins, and He took those sins to hell and paid the price for you, and then was raised for your justification on your third day, when you realize there never has been a time in your life when you put your faith in that and that alone for your salvation, when you realize you've never done that, and then you ask the Lord to save you based on your faith in that and that alone, that is your moment of salvation. So two things the Holy Spirit does for us. One is He preserves us from the moment we put our faith in that and that alone for our salvation. We are eternally secure, as He said in Ephesians. Flip over there, chapter 1, verse 13. This is you in your moment of salvation. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13, man, claim that verse. That's everything right there. There's your salvation. There's your eternal security, all wrapped up in one great verse. Okay, back to chapter 6. Back to chapter 3. Listen to what I mean. Yeah, thank you. So I told my girls for so long, listen to what I mean, not what I say, right? Okay, so back here, so we're on verse 6 now. Let's back up to verse 5. As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Two things the Spirit does. One, He eternally preserves us. Number two, teaches us, just as in here, revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay, the two things the Holy Spirit does for each one of us today that's saved, preserves you and teaches you. How does He teach you? Through the Word of God. Okay, what do you believe and why? Make sure you see it in this Word. Okay, now verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Okay, let's just stop right there. These first Gentiles who first trusted in Christ, and these second Gentiles, ye who also trusted in Christ, those two should be fellow heirs and of the same body. There was division between these two groups because you had these guys running around thinking they were pretty good because they were following some ordinances. And you had these guys who also trusted in Christ who didn't follow any ordinances. Wait a minute. Romans tells us we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Why are you guys following those four ordinances? And there was some disagreement between the two. Do you see why Paul's writing the book of Ephesians? Do you see why he talks about both groups of believers? Is the best way to word that. Okay? Right here, he is breaking down. He didn't. He's telling them that the middle wall of partition, which is the ordinances, the four ordinances, is broken down. Christ took it away at the cross. They just didn't know it yet. He's writing to them. That's what this book is about, to tell them the differences between those two groups, we who first trusted, ye who also trusted, and why from now forward there's one new man. Okay? He's made both one. That's what this book is about. You are part of ye who also trusted in Christ. Again, we don't have any trouble today. None of us goes to a synagogue first. But back then, they were alive. They were on earth. That's why they are called strangers from the covenants of promise. You also were strangers from the covenants of promise, whether you knew it or not. And again, it doesn't matter today as much, if you will. We weren't alive when that was in effect. They were. That's why Paul had to write this. That's why you can absolutely take 100% of what you see in the seven prison epistles. Everything's there. That's why there's a few things you might see in the Acts epistles, especially if you look in the book of Acts where Paul is healing and Paul is working miracles. Don't get your doctrine from the book of Acts. But everything he says for salvation here, you absolutely take and claim for yourself. Absolutely. Are these people in the body of Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. It's what Ephesians 3 is all about. He's putting both, making both one. It's called one new man. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Let's just keep, this time we're going to keep reading. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wow. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This is called the fellowship of the mystery. Which, now watch this, from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that when? To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see everything that went on back here? Do you see why you can claim everything here? Do you see the difference between the two groups? Okay, the only difference was really those two differences. First of all, who were these Gentiles? These were Gentiles who feared God and worked righteousness. They aligned themselves with Israel. When Paul walked into Corinth and started preaching in the house of Jason, excuse me, in the synagogue. When Paul got to Corinth, as we Acts 18 at the beginning, when the Jews, and it used the term what? Blasphemed. He went next door to a house that was adjoined to this synagogue. It says the house of Jason. That's where he started teaching the Gentiles that left the synagogue, went over there. And any Gentile Jews that might want to go to, they were certainly welcome. He went to Ephesus. The same thing happened. Everywhere he went, the same thing. He was bound by the promises made way back here to Abraham. He had to go to the synagogue. He had to go to the Jew first. He was bound by that because we're still in this time period. The Jews are not yet Lo Ammi. They are still God's people. That's why Paul went there first. But the Jews would always blaspheme. They turned their back on him. Those Gentiles would say, keep preaching. In Ephesus, the two trips there, there was a school of Tyrannus. And he went over to the school of Tyrannus and set up there for 2 more years. He knew those people well. You see why? Because he knew those people so well, why this book of Ephesians could not have been written to that same group. He knew all those people well. Remember in at the end of Acts 19, when he left, they sorrowed most of all for those words which he said that they should see his face no more. These people, they wept with him. They were sorry they would never see him again. You don't weep with someone if you don't really have a love for them. It says they loved him. Okay? He writes to a different group out here. And it just happens to be different doctrine. And it just happens to be people just like each one of us today. That's where you absolutely confine yourself, is that type of Gentile. Not this type of Gentile, that type of Gentile. You are absolutely a ye who also trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 2. Is there? And please, go ahead and ask. If you have a question on that, if there's anything not clear about that,
he's teaching that Jew and Gentiles are both not guilty. I mean, both guilty.
Absolutely.
So he's there preaching part of the Jewish principles as well as the principles to the Gentile believers there.
The only part of it you said he's teaching Jewish principles. No, it's who are the people that are there is the key. The people that are there are Jews and Gentile alike.
That the law, you cannot be righteous by
the law. Absolutely. Yes.
Whereas out here, these people have never heard that message.
Right.
And so there he's teaching that he's not bringing in the Jewish principles of the law.
He doesn't have to because they weren't ever aligning themselves with it in the first place, just like each of us. We didn't align ourselves with Jewish law and Jewish customs. So yes. That would be absolutely correct. Okay? But that's why these Jews so many times blaspheme very quickly. Sometimes it was one trip in there. It didn't take long. A couple hours later, they're saying, out of here, and they blasphemed them. Because he was teaching them that they could be justified without the works of the law. Are you kidding? For 2,500 years, we've been justified by the law. Who are you to tell us we're not justified by the law? Okay, so that's the message they would have been hearing prior to Paul going there. He came in with the gospel of Christ, as in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Romans, okay, where he's telling them how they can be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. First time. That's why I love, like I have any say in this. That's why to me it's amazing that the Lord chose to put Romans first after the book of Acts. The first book you see in your King James Bible written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, and he tells us that 18 times, that he is the Apostle to the Gentiles. And the first book is Romans, and that's the first book where you see justification by faith without the deeds of the law. And he hammers it home. Great, great book. People say, Brother Steve, when somebody gets saved, what should they read first? Book of Romans. What should they read second? The book of Romans. Then what should they read? The book of Romans. Okay? After you've read that maybe 10 times, the book of Ephesians. Then what? The book of Ephesians. And there's nothing wrong in the meantime if you want to keep going between, you know, to start at Romans and go to Philemon. But Romans and Ephesians absolutely nails the doctrine for today. The doctrine which is to the church, which is the body of Christ. Again, why do we rightly divide the Word of God? Okay, in Timothy we're told there's two things of God our Savior, who would have all men to be two things, to be saved and to beautiful, come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay? That's all that matters. Saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. The two things that God our Savior would have of all men today. How are they saved, first of all? And why do we rightly divide? I guess that's how I started the question. Why do we rightly divide? To make sure we're following the right gospel, because there's lots of gospels throughout this Bible. Lots of gospels. To make sure we're following. Let's read them, not go up there and point. So while we're here in Ephesians, go to chapter 2. You know, when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, what are the really key verses? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved, not will be saved, like other gospels. They will be saved at some point in the future. You know, when Christ returns is when other groups were saved, other churches were saved. The kingdom church, not the church which is the body of Christ, they are saved. 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're seeing here, here's the gospel of your salvation. Moreover, 15 verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. And that's written back here. You see, same doctrine for salvation. So I want to make sure we're clear. Same doctrine for salvation. Anybody that Paul preached to got saved the same way. What you see in these books, though, in that time period is the people that were there were just a different type of Gentile. They were aligning themselves with Israel. Not so after Acts 28, and it didn't matter anymore because the Bible says the Jews became, lo am I, not my people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Not just He died. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, three great passages when you're sharing the God, when you're sharing your testimony with someone. Those are three passages you want to share with your testimony. When somebody says to you, what do I need to do to be saved? There's your three passages. Put your testimony in there. There's power in your testimony. By the way, when did you get saved? By the way, if you died tonight, where would you go and why? And make sure you know the why. And if you're not real secure in that why, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't know that you have tomorrow. Nowhere are you promised a tomorrow. You know, I'm standing this way like I'm going to the board. The three principles by which we study the Word, teach the Word, and I encourage you to do. Okay? Number one, is that question. If you died tonight, where would you go and why? Make sure you know the why. And if you start with, well, I've been trying, stop. Examine. Big time. You've got to stop trying and start believing. That's the key. Second thing, if you remember, there's two things that God our Savior would have of all men, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Second question I would have to you is, what do you believe and why? And if you start with, well, my mama taught me, my daddy taught me, granddad taught me, okay, that's good, but it better be based upon this King James Bible. By the way, it's the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. I wish I saw more being made about that, you know, more hoopla and whatever. But anyway, what do you believe and why? Make sure you can go to this King James Bible, chapter and verse. I believe, point one, chapter and verse, here it is. This King James Bible says. You know, we use 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. I would subscribe to you that the Bible says that Romans 1:1 through the end of Philemon, 85 to 90 pages in most Bibles, that is where you get your doctrine for today. Okay? Doctrine for today is right there. Romans through Philemon. Okay? After the church is called out of here, Hebrews through Revelation kicks in. Isn't that a coincidence that the Bible is laid out that way? Some people call it coincidence. That's the doctrine for that church left on earth, which is going to start with God sending a strong delusion to those lost believers. They won't get a second chance. Once the church, which is the body, is called out of here, God is going to send that strong delusion to those that rejected the truth of the gospel. They rejected the fact that Christ died for their sins. They're left on earth, and it will be hell on earth. And when it says in Hebrews it's impossible for them who once tasted and were enlightened, you lose your salvation, your temporary salvation, because none of them are saved eternally out here. They all have to hold out to the end, and that's going to be tough. It will be hell on earth. You don't know that you have tomorrow. Okay? The fact is that when Christ died back here, shed His blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That was the penalty. You know, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death. And you know what? We all do die because we're crucified with Christ. We died back there and we put our faith in when Christ shed His blood, to be in the key. Okay, He died, but He shed His blood. Remember, that Roman soldier at His feet, he shoved that spear up there, and what came out of his side? Blood and water. Proved he was dead. Don't let anybody try to tell you he wasn't really dead. That proves it. That's a medical fact. Science. Let's use science for a minute. When blood, at the moment of death, your blood, the water separates from your blood. So anyway, out came blood and water. But He had shed His blood. That's why back here they had to crucify goats and lambs and perfect lambs, right? They had certain days they always did that. You better not try doing that today. We'll throw you in the funny farm, throw you in jail. It sure ain't going to do anything paying for your sins. This is the blood that paid for our sins. The price for our sins. The wages of sin is death. But bless your soul, Christ died, shed His blood, He was buried, took those sins down to hell, preached in hell. On the third day was raised again for our justification, for your justification. Okay, just like Romans 10:9-10. Trust in, or I'm combining many verses at once, but put your faith in that alone for your salvation. Okay, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and thou shalt be saved. Will you trust Him tonight? Hey, thanks for being here today, gang. I do want to ask if there's any questions. I'll take those. Okay, I appreciate each of you being here. Is that okay? Appreciate each of you being here today. Again, go back and study it for yourself. You need to know chapter and verse what you believe and why. That's the key thing. And it's got to be founded right here in the King James Bible. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. Good week.